You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Chester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
And who's loving our series? Follow us. It's so good being able to look at the early church, look at the people that walked the earth with Jesus and followed him, and to learn the lessons of discipleship from them so that we too can be discipled, but also be a disciple. If you had a text this week from someone in church asking you for a coffee, off the back of Pastor Lee's message of everyone disciple one, I encourage you, go on the coffee. Don't feel awkward that you might be their one. Go on the coffee. See what God's got for you. But what I loved about Pastor Lee's message last week is it was a call to action for all of us. It was a call of action for every single one of us, whether we're a brand new Christian, whether we've known Jesus for a long time, whether we've been discipled before or we're being discipled. It was a call to action to everybody. Look outside of where you currently are. Have eyes to see the need in somebody's life and step into action and be a disciple. Great message. Today, we're going to be looking at what is the fruit of that discipleship. What is the fruit of discipleship? Now, I'm very aware that if you're not a Christian or you don't come to church, two of those words make you think, what do you mean? One, fruit. Two, discipleship. What do you mean by the fruit of discipleship? The Bible, like Pastor Lisandre has already spoken about, talks a lot about illustrations of us being like trees, of us being planted, growing deep roots. The Bible talks about trees planted in good soil will produce good fruit, and trees planted in bad soil will produce bad fruit. Jesus himself uses this illustration and this analogy in Matthew 7, 16 to 18, where he says, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Psalms 92 says, planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. Growing in grace, they will thrive, bear fruit, and prosper. Fruit is something that sometimes is unseen, but it's something that we all interact with. Has anyone heard that saying of like, oh, they just left like a bit of a bad taste in my mouth? It's like, I can't explain what it was that left a bad taste in my mouth. I didn't actually eat them or taste them, but being around them just seemed to leave a bit of a bad taste in my mouth. You see, fruit is something that is produced in our lives, either good or bad. Just the last week, I was away with 10 of my friends, and we were in this really nice Airbnb, and Lynn Marie, who's great at organizing us all, did the food shop. She got a big bowl of fruit and put it on the island in the kitchen. And I'm trying to eat healthy in 2026, so I didn't go to the cupboard full of chocolate. I went to the fruit bowl this time, this one time. I have done it two more times as well. But I opted for the fruit bowl. And you know when you just look at a fruit bowl and you're hungry, and for the first time you go, wow, that actually looks really nice. That fruit looks really good. Danny has that every morning. He loves his fruit. But I see the fruit bowl and I see, you know, the tiny oranges. I don't know what they're called, but the little ones. I just heard it mumble across the room then. That was amazing. What are they called? Hey, there we go. And I picked one of these satsumas up and I opened it and I'm talking and I'm chatting and I put a slice in my mouth and all of a sudden it was like, oh, it was like the most sour thing I've eaten. It was like, has anyone had one of those toxic waste before? You know, like they come with like a warning on the tin. Young people are looking at me like, yeah, my favorite sweet. Put it in my mouth and it was like, oh, what is this? Everyone burst out laughing. It was like the fruit that looked good was actually bad. But then somebody else came and they got themselves a satsuma. And it turns out they loved the sourness. And they were like, no, sour is how you want it. Like, that's the good flavor. And just before we start and we dive into the message, I want us to realize that sometimes bad fruit can look good, but also good fruit can look bad. And I just want to remind us all that it's God's job to determine the fruit of our lives. And it's God's position to judge the fruit that we produce, not us. It's not our job to start judging the fruit that are in each other's lives or the fruit that we see is there or that isn't there. It is God's job. So today in the message, we're going to explore what it is that determines the fruit that we produce in our lives. Sound good? Yeah. Sound good? Before we get into it, I just want to pray. Why don't you just put your hands out in front of you? God, I thank you that you are on the move in this church, that we are in breakthrough territory, God. God, I thank you for the 13 people this week across last Sunday, Friday night, and today that have already made a decision for you, God. God, we thank you that breakthrough is a reality here in Audacious Church, God. God, so we pray that at the preaching of your word today, that people's hearts would become soft, that people would see you and hear your voice audibly, Lord. God, that you would make it personal and you would speak in a way that is undeniably you today, God. In this, we pray in your name. Amen. Amen. The key scripture for today, if you're taking notes, is Acts 2, 42 to 47. And we're just going to take a moment to read it together. So let me encourage you to either get the Bible app up or get your Bible out or write it in your notebooks as we read this together. It says this. They were continually and faithfully devoting themselves to the teaching of the apostles and to fellowship and to eating meals together and to prayer. A sense of awe was felt by everybody, and many wonders, signs, attesting to miracles were taking place through the apostles. And all who believed in Jesus as Savior were together and had all things in common. They began selling their property and possessions and were sharing the proceeds with all the believers as anyone had need. Day after day, they met in the temple area, continuing with one mind in the breaking of bread in various private homes. They were eating their meals together with joy and generous hearts, praising God continually and having favor with all of the people. And the Lord kept adding to their number daily those who were being saved. You see, what you're devoted to will determine the fruit produced in your life. If you show me your calendar, if you show me your bank account, if you show me the things that you make a priority in your life, I think I could have a pretty good job at trying to help you see the fruit that you're going to produce in your life. You see, what we give our time, we give our energy to, what we talk about, what we make a priority in our life will determine the fruit that is produced in our lives. In Acts 2, we see that they are continually, faithfully devoting themselves to each other and to Jesus. You see, they weren't giving themselves totally to a church strategy or to singing the coolest songs. No, they were fully devoted to Jesus. I don't know if you've met somebody that like oozes devotion. You know, that person who knows all of the football scores since 1992, they know all of the players, it's all they can talk about. Or that person, that hipster that's just so into coffee, they know at what angle the beans were grown in the plant and the degree of the sun on the Watch Mountain in which country, blah, 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 blah. They won't go to Costa because it wasn't grown on the perfect. You know the kinds of people that I mean, or the guy that goes to the gym and he just keeps talking about how it was leg day because he's self-conscious of walking around with a slight wobble in his leg. Does anyone know anyone like that? A lot of you are looking at me saying, yes, Josh, I know you. Yes, I actually talk to you, Josh. I've heard about the coffee van ideas. I've seen the camper van that was just a van that didn't become a camper van. I've heard about the fishing exploits. I've heard about the golf trips. And you're going, Josh, I see it in you. And that is absolutely fine. We all have people that when they devote themselves to something, it just seems to become all that they can talk about. Which just shows us that what we give our devotion to determines the fruit produced in our lives. Church, if we're not self-aware, if we're not aware of the things that we're given the devotion of our heart to, we could end up giving our devotion to entertainment disguised as life-giving joy. I don't want to give the devotion of my heart to a piece of entertainment that seemed like I was receiving joy. You see, if we're devoted to money, we will produce greed. If we're devoted to comfort, we'll produce complacency. If we're devoted to success, we will end up exhausted. You see, the church in Acts 2, they weren't just devoted to the next strategy or the social media platforms or the cool worship songs. No, they were ordinary people. The you and me of the day that had an encounter with an extraordinary God and decided to give their lives to live in His way and not the world's way. Hey, if you want to see fruit in your life, if you want to see the fruit of miracles, signs and wonders in your life, I want to ask you to stand to your feet, and we're just going to give a shout of praise as we believe that as we give our devotion to Jesus, we will see unity, radical generosity, joy, thanksgiving, and supernatural favor. Come on, church. Let's turn our hearts to Him in this moment and give Him all of our devotion and all of our praise. See, when we're devoted to Jesus and we put Him in the center of our lives, we will see the good fruit. We will see good fruit. So we're just going to take a couple of moments, and we're going to look at some different things that come out of our devotion to Jesus. If you're taking notes today, then the first thing that when you're devoted to Jesus, you also become devoted to His word. It says in verse 42 that they were continually and faithfully devoting themselves to the teaching. They understood the power of the word of God. They didn't just see this as good virtue or inspirational content. No, they understood that they had been given the inspired word of God. It can be so easy for us, church, to try and fit the word into the world rather than seeing the world through the lens of the word. What we're devoted to determines our fruit. When we're devoted to control, we'll produce anxiety. When we're devoted to pleasure, we'll produce addiction. But when we're devoted to Jesus, we're devoted to the Word of God. When we're devoted to the Word of God, we will produce good fruit in our lives. What is good fruit? Good fruit looks like miracles, signs, and wonders. Good fruit looks like a spirit of generosity. Good fruit looks like a God-giving joy, a praise, a thanksgiving. Who wants to see good fruit in their lives? Not for just their benefit, but for God to look on. Billy Graham's got an amazing quote, which is going to come up on screen for us. He says that the very practice of reading the Bible will have a purifying effect on your mind and on your heart. Let nothing take the place of this daily exercise. Church, I thank God for the Bible. I thank God that I have the Word of God, the inspired Word of God, alive and active at my disposal at any moment. I thank God that when I'm discouraged, I'm a page away from encouragement. I thank God when there's a mountain in front of me and I can't see how I'm going to climb it, there is a story of faith right in front of me. Hey, church, what would it look like if we were more devoted to the Word of God in 2026 than to Netflix or Disney Plus? Church, what would it look like if we let our devotion of our heart go to Jesus and fall in line with the Word of God? What would it look like if you were more devoted to the Word of God than your phone this year? What would it look like if we gave our wholehearted devotion to waking up every morning or spending our lunchtime, not in our thoughts, not in our worries, not in our anxieties, but in the Word? It can look different for us all. We shouldn't just read the Bible out of the law and feeling that we have to. We should read the Bible out of our love for Jesus, out of an overflow of devotion. So what would it look like this year if you became devoted with the Word of God? That's why we put booklets on your seats the last couple of weeks with the Bible in a year plan. That's why we have Audacious College. That's why we have small groups, so that we can become devoted in the Word together. When you're devoted to Jesus, you become devoted to fellowship. It says in Acts 42 that they were devoting themselves to the teaching and to fellowship, eating meals together. The early church was always with each other. It was like their lives were intertwined. I remember when I first started coming to church, I didn't like the beginning and I didn't like the end. I didn't mind the middle bit. Because I had a mindset of, I'm not here to find friends, I'm here to find God. And I couldn't understand why people would want to speak to me. Just didn't get it. Like, why do you want to speak to me? Don't you know that 99% of us all hate small talk? And it would be uncomfortable. And I wouldn't want to stick around for coffee at the end. I wouldn't want to come early. I wouldn't want to meet up with that person that texts me or phone me in the week. Why? Because I had a hard heart. But something amazing happened. When I gave my life to Jesus and I started to fall in love with him, I also started to fall in love with his church. You see, as my heart became soft in my relationship with God and I began to learn more about him and I began to learn about his goodness, I began to see how he sees his people. And I couldn't help but start to fall in love with it. Was it easy? No. Was it uncomfortable? Yes. But I'm so thankful for the people that God put around me that were able to be a part of that thawing out process in my heart. I dare you to take a chance on a small group. I dare you to take a risk on fellowship. I dare you to push past that awkward barrier having a coffee at the end of the service. I dare you to push past the awkwardness of texting that person back that's reached out to you. I just wonder at what God can do with you investing in fellowship this year. When you're devoted to Jesus, you're also devoted to the house of God. You see, you can't love Jesus without loving his house. It says in Acts 2:46 that day after day they met in the temple, continuing with one mind. Psalm 92, I'll read it again. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will thrive and bear fruit and prosper. Hey, do you want to flourish in 2026? Do you want to see good fruit in your life? Well, then plant yourself in a local church. Get planted in all that this church is doing. Come to services weekly rather than monthly. Hey, did you know that we have a pre-service prayer meeting every single Sunday before the 9 a.m.? Hey, why don't you go over and above in how you are committing to the house of God? Do the home course next week. Learn about who we are as a local church. See, roots don't grow deep when we keep uprooting and keep moving. But for our roots to grow deep and for us to bear the fruit that God has for us, we need to be planted in the house of God. What you give your devotion to determines your fruit. When you're devoted to Jesus, you're also devoted to prayer. Acts 42, they were devoting themselves to the teaching, to fellowship, to eating meals, and to... Colossians 4 verse 2, be persistent and devoted to prayer, being alert and focused in your life and with a attitude of thanksgiving. Church, prayer shouldn't be our last resort. Prayer shouldn't be the thing that we go to last. Prayer should be our native tongue. Prayer should be the thing that we do first. I've had it in my own experience over the last couple of weeks. There's things that I'm believing for. There's things that I'm praying about. And every time before I pray, I think, who should I phone? Because in my moment of need, it's natural to think of the person to talk to rather than God, the God to talk to. I want to encourage you that there is breakthrough behind your prayers. That a praying church is a dangerous church. That a Christian that knows the power of their prayers will cause change in their city, will cause change in their work life. Hey, when I was away from church and I wasn't walking with God, it was the prayers of a praying mother that brought me back to Christ. It wasn't anything else. It was my mom seeking God for me. Hey, whose breakthrough, whose relationship with Jesus is on the other side of your prayer? Oh, church, if you want to see good fruit from your prayer life, then why don't you stand to your feet and just begin to praise Jesus across this place? What you devote yourself to determines your fruit. A praying church is a dangerous church. When you pray, you can take your seats. When you pray, the fruit of your prayers will be miracle signs and wonders. It will be a generous spirit. It will be unity in the house. It will be joy, thanksgiving, and praise. Church, let's devote ourselves to Jesus. Let's devote ourselves to an exercise and a discipline of prayer. Next month, we're going to be launching prayer nights in the building once a month on a Sunday night. And it's going to be awesome. And we're going to go to war for the city. We're going to go to war for the local schools. We're going to go to war for the things that God has for this church. It's not going to be quiet. It's not going to be shy. It's going to be loud, because we know that we've got a big God that we can take our big prayers to. So what you devote yourself determines your fruit. What is on the other side of your prayer life this year? When you're devoted to Jesus and you're devoted to prayer life and you're devoted to the house of God, you can't help but be devoted to others. You just can't help yourself. You can't help but, when you're in the coffee shop, letting your native tongue of prayer, letting your native tongue of faith start to be the tongue that you talk to the person with. You see, when you're devoted to Jesus and you see the power of His work every morning, and you read of His goodness and His mercies and how He views every child of His and how He sees every person, it's so hard not to have a compassionate heart. We are a missional church because we're devoted to Jesus, which stirs us to be devoted for others. We're doing Youth Alpha in high schools, not to say that we're doing Youth Alpha in high schools, but because our heart breaks for the kids that don't know Jesus, because our heart breaks for those that are walking through things that we know that could be solved in a relationship with Jesus. Hey, we had 6 young people on Friday night give their life to Jesus here. Praise God. We do all that we do. Why? Why do we have an awesome kids church happening in the other room that has praise parties at the end of services with parents? Why? Because we care about others. Our devotion to Jesus stirs us to live out the Great Commission. Pastor Lee told us last week, it's the Great Commission, not a great suggestion. Hey, what is on the other side of you being devoted to somebody else? What is on the other side of you being devoted to praying for your work environment? What's on the other side of you being devoted to serve the people that look down on you and show the love of Jesus in that space? What's on the other side of you being devoted to speaking faith when someone brings you their lack? What you give your devotion to will determine the fruit of your life. So let's plant ourselves in good soil. This is good soil, like Pastor Lisandro's already said today. Let's devote ourselves to the reading of God's word, to being planted in His house, and to having a compassionate heart for the people that aren't yet in relationship with God or in our church. This discipleship is the model that Jesus has chosen to build His church. Disciples making disciples. Ordinary people pointing each other to Jesus. Creating space for an encounter. Creating space for a move of God. Creating space for Jesus to be the solution and not the good ideas or the things that you've seen in your life. Hey, when you produce good fruit in your life and you see good fruit, trust that God can do the same for somebody else. Don't just give them your fruit. Give them Jesus. I love it at Gate Beautiful when Peter is asked for silver and gold. He says, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. Stand up and walk in the name of Jesus. He didn't meet the need that the person was asking for with something that he had in his possession. No, he created space for them to have an encounter with God themselves so that they could have the healing and not just the provision. Who in your world needs you to create space for God to move in their lives? Come on, church, let's stir a compassionate heart for breakthrough, for miracles, for signs, for wonders. You see, John 14, Jesus tells us that we can do greater things. Ah, that gets me so excited. Greater things than Jesus. Who wants to see that kind of fruit in their lives? Greater things. He says, I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father will be glorified in the Son. Whatever you may ask me, I will do it. I want to see the fruit of miracle signs and wonders in my life. I want to see the fruit of unity in my life. I want to see the fruit of generosity because Jesus has promised greater. So plant yourself, flourish in the house of the Lord, and He will use you to do greater things. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask you just to stand to your feet across this place. What you devote yourself to determines the fruit that you will produce, church. If you're unsure of the fruit that you're producing, take a look at your calendar. Take a look at your bank statements. Take a look at what you've made a priority in your life. Start asking yourself the hard questions. We're just going to create a moment for the Holy Spirit to do what only He can do. And coming into today, I've just been praying that people, that you all would have a moment of clarity of the fruit that is being produced by your life. That even though it may be convicting or even though it may require change, that you will have the strength to look inside and make a change with Jesus. So what are you devoted to? Is it the stats of the football? Is it the coffee? Is it the gym? Is it the new hobby that you've taken up? Or is it Jesus? What has the priority of your heart? What has your attention first thing in the morning and as your head hits the pillow at night? Where is it that your mind goes in a moment of crisis? Is it to prayer? Is it to Jesus? Or is it to someone? What is the fruit that you are producing? What needs to change in 2026 for you to be planted, for you to flourish, and for you to produce good fruit? What priorities need to shift in your life for you to put Jesus at the center, for you to put Jesus on the throne of your heart? I'm believing that just in a moment, as we sing, there's going to be a moment of clarity. But I also think that that moment of clarity is dependent on a move from you. Sometimes we need to get uncomfortable to receive what Jesus has for us. So I'm going to ask you to come to the front, not for prayer, but as a recognition that you have been devoting your life to entertainment disguised as life-giving joy. I'm going to create a moment for you to come to the front to recognize that your priorities aren't in order.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.